Love it. The cool thing about it is if you have children, then you'll have grandchildren, so you get to hold kids again sometimes. So that's a blessing. But boy, I love that song. I've heard it several times. It's true. Before you know it, time's passed, and so take advantage of it. Many of you are going, yeah, that's exactly right. The people have kids graduating. Yeah, that's quite a deal. So thankful for that truth that the Lord gives us that opportunity. The Bible says that children are an heritage from the Lord, and so I'm very thankful for that. Take your Bible to meet me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Take your Bible, whatever you want to do with it, either. Just do something with it. Let's read it together. How about that? I know the preacher wanted to break out in song a moment ago because he and I have spent a lot of time together this week, and certain words key certain songs. And so, anyway, I was thinking about him just a moment ago. Rein it in, bro. Rein it in. Rein it in. You can do it. And he did. I was so proud. I was proud. All right. Do you want me to break out in that song? No, okay. No, I don't think so. Okay. Well, then, since I'm using that, yeah, that changes a lot of things. Thanks a lot. Take all my fun. Oh, all right. If you'd, if you're there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read the last part here of this chapter, where it begins with verse number 14. So the Bible says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Tonight I want to just speak just on a couple of verses here. They're right in a row. There's several different opinions about Paul's endings of his letters. And one of the opinions is that occasionally things just cross his mind and he uses a shotgun approach to try to capture all of the thoughts that are going through his mind. I don't believe that's true. I believe this is the holy, inspired Word of God. And so everything's here by structure for a reason. So we're going to look at this in context and determine, what does it look like if you're a quencher? And what does it look like if you're not a quencher? To quench or not to quench? That is the question. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and thank you for your word. Lord, I'm so thankful that you put in the scriptures markers that we can detect in our lives whether we're walking according to the Spirit of God and walking in truth, and whether we are following the example and the direction that you've given us. I pray tonight that you'd once again encourage us, be with that person who may be here tonight that's never accepted you as their personal Savior. It's possible they've heard the salvation plea many times in the gospel message. I pray tonight that again it will become fresh to them and convict them. And then I pray for those of us who have heard and we've accepted, we've received, some not very long ago, some for quite a while now in our lives, we've known you as our Savior. And so I pray that we'd gain understanding tonight and that we'd hear the truth of your word and that it would change our hearts and direct us towards you. We love you and thank you for these dear folks that have taken time out of their Sunday where they chose to be here tonight. And so I pray that you'd bless them for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. as we looked at this morning, Paul is writing 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to a church that is struggling with the rapture. And we looked this morning about what a church should do if they're waiting, what should happen in the believer's life. And we talked about abounding and abounding more and more, which is significant because that means you never stop abounding until you can't abound anymore. And there's only two ways you do that. You're raptured or you've passed from this life because you can't abound anymore when you're not here. That's all throughout the scriptures about how can I praise the Lord from the grave? You can't. And so it's our opportunity, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility to abound, especially so that others can see the gospel working in us. Well, tonight, there's another aspect of this that we can look at. And again, we ended there in verse 23, we read there in verse 23, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So what about this leadership of the Holy Spirit? And I'm not going to get into, I'm not going to get into weird doctrine here. I'm just going to maybe show you a couple of things here from the Bible that help us to understand what quenching is. Now, if you've ever had a fire, you know what quenching is. A proper quench of a fire, and I can speak to this with great authority, because although I was not there, we had neighbors to our south side who the night before, it had been for 3 days, weather service was warning that it was going to be a red flag warning. How many of you know what a red flag warning is? If you've ever lived deep in the south, especially in dry places, their red flag warning wouldn't have a lot of impact here right at this moment because everything's so green. Where we live, it's still pretty dry. The ground doesn't take water well, and so it takes quite a bit of rain to get it to green up. And so we were under a red flag warning, and I was in Ohio, but the folks next to us knew that there was a red flag warning. They said, they acknowledged that they knew, and I'm not mad at them, so everybody calm down. I was a Christian about it, and so they decided they were going to have a little fire out on their back porch the night before this red flag warning was coming in. Now, the winds were gusting to 70 miles an hour. That's pretty typical in Kansas. If you've ever driven across it, you know. You can go, yeah, Kansas is, well, I think Kansas means wind. And so it's very windy there during the summer months out of the south during the spring, early spring. We get a lot of south winds. And so that day it was going to be 70 miles an hour. The next day it was going to be 70 miles an hour. The next day it was going to be 70 miles an hour gusting winds. So these people had a fire. They went out and they had it in their chimenea. That's safe. How many of you know what a chimenea is? Some of you do, some of you don't. They're just about useless. But they had a fire in their chimenea, and this is their story now. We enjoyed the fire. It was a beautiful night the night before, very kind of cool and very lovely to be out on the back porch. And so they had this fire, and then the wind started blowing that night. And the wind blew, and in their chimenea, he said, well, I poured 3 buckets of water on it. Well, he tried to quench it, but 3 buckets don't really quench a fire. You need to stir it up. You need to make putty out of it is what you need to do. Pouring water on it wasn't going to quench it. So I get a call. I'm in Ohio. My wife is in a panic. I'm in Ohio. She's in Kansas. I'm in Ohio. She's calling me. She goes, "Rah!"
Do it like her.
I'm going to try to do it like her. I don't want her to get mad, so I'm trying. Okay. Okay, the context is... The context is the fire was kicked up, the embers were cast out. The the neighbors to our south don't mow. I mow close right as winter hits so that it'll stay short. And if it catches fire, it won't get big. They're environmentalists. They want to feed the air with the... So they allow it to grow up a little bit, and the... It caught their yard on fire, and the wind was blowing so hard that it was, I mean, the fire was moving across the grass. So now it's at its, like, feet, maybe, when she called me, maybe 25, 30 feet from the south side of our house. And it's coming in, and it's jumping across things. We have a big windbreak there with very flammable trees. We call them cedars. You call them junipers. They're both the same. They're junk. And so they... They catch fire very easily. The guy also has pine trees. We have a wooden fence around our backyard where our pit bull lives, and the fire's coming there. The fire gets there. She calls me, and she goes, "Run! There's a fire!" I said, "Where?" "At the house." I said, "Where are you?" "We're outside looking at it." I said, "In the house, there's a fire?" "No, it's coming toward the house." I said, "In the yard?" "Yes." "Well, FaceTime me and show me what it looks like." She gets the phone out, and she goes, "Here it is. Look at this. There's fire trucks all over our yard. It's your dad." My dad had just had hip surgery. He had fell and broken the ball of in his hip, so he had it replaced. He wasn't walking. My brother and my sister-in-law were there. She's a nurse. She kept telling him to get up. Now he's standing out on the front porch looking. She's taking video all of this. And I said, "No, that's really cool. Show me those fire trucks again." She goes, "This is not cool." It's exactly what she did. "What are you, an idiot? This is not cool. Look at this. All I can see is your face. You got to turn the camera around." "Oh, look at this." And I mean, the fire department was there quite a while. I saw a lot of it. It was scary. There's no doubt about it. But you know what it took them to quench that fire? They had big, huge trucks out there. I have ruts in my yard still that I can't get rid of. They're so deep from these fire trucks moving across and this fire going to our fence, burning underground. That's how hot it was, burning up through the fence. We have railroad ties around the base of the fence because we used to have a dog that dug and would get out. She's now gone to doggy heaven. I don't know how it happened, but she went to doggy heaven, and she's gone now. Her name was Hershey, but we had to put these roads, so the railroad ties caught on fire. I lost fence there. I lost. Well, it doesn't matter about the railroad ties. The grass still hasn't grown back. It burned the roots out. That's how hot it was. Now, the reason for the story was to kind of draw you in, but to tell you that fire, it can be quenched. It can be. That's what fire departments do. It was a roaring fire. I mean, it was moving across there lickety split. Had they not stopped it, it would have burned up the neighborhood. I mean, it was a serious brush fire. They had, I don't know, I think she said in that area just where we lived, 9 people had burned the night before. I don't know what red flag warning means to them. I have no idea. Red meaning stop, red flag. It's going to be windy. Don't, it's dry. Don't, they did. They burned 9 overall in the county. I think in the 2 counties, there were 150 of those fires where people had burned the night before because it was perfectly calm and they didn't believe. But the fact of the matter is that with work, they did quench it. They were able to stop the fire. It took work. So I want to talk to you tonight about what the Holy Spirit did in you, and this isn't going to take long at salvation, but what God gave us in the Holy Spirit of God. He gave us, the Bible says, in fact, John says that Jesus came to baptize by fire. And we have in us a fire that burns. His name is the Holy Spirit. He seals us until the day of redemption. It's not a weird thing. It's not a, we speak in tongues and that's how you see it. The Holy Spirit was given to us to keep us until the day of redemption. In other words, to guide us in all truth is what Jesus said. To help us to understand. Have you ever been listening to someone preach and they're preaching? They seem like a nice person. They're preaching but they say something and in you, you go, I don't think that's right. Well, if you're saved and this is the only people that aren't led astray easily, the Holy Spirit of God is in you and He says, that's not right. That's not, that doesn't line up with the Bible. Now, He doesn't teach you new things. He simply takes the Bible and allows us to understand it and to grow in it. So the verse there says, quench not the Spirit. Evidently, there's ability to do that. How would you do that? Well, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to live separated unto God. So we looked at this morning, abounding in the ways that we're supposed to abound in our relationships, abound in sanctification, abound in controlling our vessel. When we're abounding, the Holy Spirit is working in us, giving us direction according to the Word of God to make right decisions. When we're not abounding, if you just really quickly, we'll read these verses, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 3 of 2 Peter chapter number 1, according as His divine power, Jesus's, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, my responsibility, your responsibility as a believer, is to add to our faith. It's not something that is just going to be dumped on you. The Holy Spirit is in you, waiting to work, waiting to lead you, to cause you to understand the Scriptures, but you have to yield. So anything you do contrary to the Word of God will quench. And if you do it enough, it'll quench the Holy Spirit so much that you will stop getting this when you hear messages. Now, I said this morning that it's very difficult for me to sit through any message without God speaking my heart. I'm very thankful for that, because let me tell you something. For 19 years, I sat in the back. If you're sitting in the back, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying I sat in the back, because that's where backsliders sit. But I was sitting in the back. I sat in the back, and the preacher would preach, and here's what I would say. Well, that's his opinion. Well, that's his opinion. That's what he thinks the Bible says. When actually the Bible says what it means what it says. You have no need of an interpreter. But the next verse says, despise not prophesying. Right. You know what you do need? You know what I need? We need preaching. That's why we're not supposed to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Preaching changes our mind about our lives. If you sit through preaching, now I'm not, please listen to me, I don't think you're so wicked, you may be, but I know that sometimes I am. I need to hear a preacher say something that I already know the Bible says, but I need to hear it to remind me, buddy, it is time to get it right with God. Why? Because if you don't, you'll quench the Spirit. These verses are here on purpose. How do you know if you're a quencher? The first way you know is you despise preaching.
Right.
And what does the word despise mean? God used it when he spoke to David about his sin with Bathsheba. He said, because you have despised me, I would have given you anything if you'd have just asked. But because you despised me and you've gone and done this thing, what you did in secret, I am going to do openly. And then he says to him, because you despised my word. Well, what was it that he despised? Now, think about this. David wrote hundreds of psalms. He wrote the 119th psalm. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I believe that he did because of it certainly is his heart about the scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. That's right. So I know that I need a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. So I'm going to hide your word in my heart. Why? Because I can't do this alone. David said those words. David recognized, he was a prophet. He was a songist. He wrote psalms. He wrote songs. He played songs. He loved and honored God. He was a man after God's own heart. Yet he was able to quench those truths in his lives for in his life for that moment to not only sin by being immoral, but sin by murder. You know what that tells me? If David can do it, so can I. I need preaching. I need somebody to get up and preach it hot and heavy and get in my grill. And so do you. Why? Because we are that close from being so deaf to the Holy Spirit, we can't hear what he's saying. You know what I think is so wonderful? That the Holy Spirit continues to work even when I'm not listening. But this is what I hear. I was hearing, you know you need to go to the altar. You know that he's right. You know you've let this in.
Amen.
Now I hear this. Nothing. It's possible for you and I to quench the Spirit, and the one of the very first indicators is that you despise preaching. To despise it means you believe that it's nothing more than garbage. You're ready to disregard. You hear it. It's like driving down the road. Your wife says, the exit's coming up, and you disregard it. I've never really done that, but maybe. Like just, yes, lightning bolt. Everybody put your rods up. Twyla and I have been talking. She has told me, warned me about certain things, and I have. Sometimes I disregard what she says. And not always, but typically. So typically, because I don't believe anybody's right 100% of the time, typically I do, I am sorry that I didn't listen, because especially when she's telling me we're supposed to be somewhere and I don't listen. And so I should never do that with God. But I do. So a preacher says something that I don't like, and I disregard the rest of the message. He says one thing, and from that point on, no matter what comes out of his mouth, I don't want to hear it. That's quenching the Spirit. My dad taught me whenever I was young, long ago, no matter who the preacher is, it doesn't matter. When the Bible's opened, you and I should get something out of it. Why? The Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Specifically, let's look and see what the Bible says about despising God's word. Look at Leviticus chapter number 26. Leviticus chapter number 26, verse number 16, God is speaking here to the children of Israel in giving them the law. And he says, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth. Look at verse number 43. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. What we just read was while God was giving them the law and warning them about despising it. Now in chapter 36 and verse number 16, if you know your Bible, this is the last chapter of 2 Chronicles. This is the end of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. The Bible says this. Let's go to verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes. That means before things even started getting bad, just warning them, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. I think God's pretty serious about his word. In fact, the Bible says that his word is exalted above his name on the earth. He's very serious. He's given you and I opportunity to hear the word of God in preaching. That's why we're not supposed to avoid preaching. Some of you probably should understand, many of you should understand, that we're all actually called to preach and proclaim. We're supposed to give the gospel as preachers. What does that mean? To proclaim. Not to give a presentation that's going to win them over, but to proclaim truth so that people can be confronted by the truth and make a choice. The fact is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're supposed to preach that, but we're also supposed to preach, flee youthful lusts. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Yeah, that still needs to be preached. And we still need to respond. I don't go to that church because I feel bad about myself when I leave there. You should feel bad about yourself. You're a sinner. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're perfect. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Have you ever wondered why you get angry when you sin? For years and years and years, I ran from the Lord. You know who I took it out on? Her. Well, you're a jerk. Yep. I sure was. And the more she served the Lord, the angrier I got. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was in me going, hey, bozo, what are you doing? But I would say, stop. You're not going to convict me. I'm fine. The preacher would get up and start preaching. I would literally cross my arms. If you have your arms crossed right now, I know who you are. I would listen, and I always had something negative to say. Always. I grew up in church. My dad was a good preacher. I heard it. Hot and heavy. I grew up in the South. This is calm compared to what goes. I mean, they go nuts down there, man. In the South, don't they? They run around. They're like, ah, bless God, bless God. I mean, I grew up in that stuff. It was scary. I'm not going to lie. But I grew up and learned how to turn off the Word of God when it was being preached. Some people don't like the preacher's antics, and so they go on. The Bible says, despise not prophesying. It's not talking about that we have a new Word of God. It's talking about the proclamation of the Word of God, the way that it's been given to us. Your preacher, I've heard him preach. I've had him, glad to have had him and his wife at Temple Baptist Church. He got up Sunday morning. Guess what he did? He preached the Word of God. He got up Sunday night. Guess what he did? He preached the Word of God. You know why? That's what is going to help us. The first part of verse number 21 says, prove all things. So not only am I supposed to not despise the prophesying, but I'm supposed to prove all things. That means I should know enough about the Bible to pick it up after I've heard a message and prove it according to the Bible. Turn to Acts chapter number 17. Nothing better than to see it in action. Acts chapter number 17. Verse number 10 says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. You want to know why you need preaching? So it'll drive you to the Bible to prove what the preacher said. He's not asking you to believe every word that comes out of his mouth. Even when he's reading it, prove it. I don't care. You say, well, Brother Ron, I don't really care about a guy coming up and say, you missed this. Well, we're not supposed to preach we're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, but not all at once. We'd be here all day, all night, and then you'd be mad about that. I don't want to be here anymore. Some of the couples at the couples conference have got to be going, man, am I worn out? I mean, I'm worn down. I'm not going to lie. I'm just like, oh, dude, I could sleep right now, but I'm standing, so that would be bad. But I do. Somebody will preach, and I'll go, I've never even seen that before. Now, I don't do it while they're preaching, but after they're preaching, I will. I'll go, that's right there. You know, all that does is reassure you that the preaching that you're getting is right. And it helps the Holy Spirit of God grow and the ability for Him to speak more to you, because now you're proving the truth with the truth. We're called to do that. We're called to prove all things, to prove every spirit. Don't just accept this. Have you ever heard? I just actually had a conversation with somebody. Thank the Lord. A person that evidently used to be in our church, because I think she's gone now. She came, she's in her 20s-ish, I'm not real sure. She came to me and she said, Pastor, I don't know if you've heard, but we're moving. My sister and I are moving. I said, oh, you are? She told me where they were moving. I said, okay, well, why are you going there? Well, I don't know. I said, did y'all get jobs there? No. I said, well, why are you moving? Well, I really believe the Holy Spirit just really worked on both of us. We've prayed about it, and we're really supposed to go. I said, oh, where are you going to church? What do you think the answer was? Here's the exact answer. I told her, I said, I'm going to use this because I've used it before. I'm going to tell you. Here was the answer. You know, that's something we just really haven't even thought about. So here's what I did, because I'm a preacher. I looked at her square in the face and said, then you're a liar. That wasn't the Holy Spirit that told you to move. Because He doesn't do that. He doesn't take a living person and move them to a dead place. He doesn't take a person from something and put them into nothing. He takes a person from a place and puts them into a place. You say, you said that right there in the big middle of the aisle right after I'd already preached. Why? Somebody's got to tell the truth. And she did not prove the Spirit. The Spirit will never lead you against the Scriptures. That's a great way to quench. Well, I know that you probably heard about so-and-so. You did? I would like to offer a prayer request. Now, let me tell you what I know about this, all right? He and she were, you know, and then I say, I don't know, and then they, and well, and so then all of this stuff, and then the dad got mad, and it was horrible. I mean, it was going to be, and so, but would you pray about that with me? I'm sure that helps, but the Bible tells us to make sure that we control our tongues. But we say, you know what? I can cover this with spiritual. No, I actually had a lady come up to me and say, what am I supposed to do if they don't change? I said, you pray for them. Well, but other people need to know. I said, no, other people don't need to know. Jesus needs to know. Prove the Spirit. Everything we do is not led by the Spirit. Quit lying to yourself. So, here's what's going to happen. If you're quenching the Spirit, you're going to despise preaching, and you're going to start saying things like this. Well, I really feel like the Spirit wanted me to do this. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. You need to read your Bible. That is not how He works. He works in the confines of this. If it's not here, He did not tell you to do it. Why? Jesus said specifically that He would lead you and guide you in all truth that He had already heard. It's because the Holy Spirit of God is an extension of who Jesus is. Because He is the Spirit of God. The three in one. It's not mystical. So, my question for you then is, do you despise preaching? Well, no, Brother Ron, I mean, we're here on Sunday night, for crying out loud. Some of you have been here all week. Okay, do you prove? Do you search the Scriptures? John 4, 1 through 6 talks about proving the spirits, whether they be the Spirit of God or not. Do you understand quenching the Spirit is if you continually buck the truth, you can quench the Spirit to the point where it will, as we read in 2 Peter chapter number 1, you will not even look like you're saved. You will forget that you were delivered from those things. Read the Scriptures. If you're not adding, you forget. But if you add, it makes you profitable. It makes you that you will not be lacking in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need preaching because we need to grow. We need preaching because we need to understand the leadership of the Spirit. And then we need preaching so that we will hold fast that which is good. We live in a world today where we need someone to stand up in the pulpit. I need to hear preaching. And I need to hear somebody say, what the world is saying right now is not good. It's not okay to let your kids believe that this is okay. There needs to be a difference between good and evil. And out of compassion, many times, we say, well, if we accept them, they'll change. That's not necessarily true. Accepting it means you're approving it. We're supposed to look at good and discern good from evil and see it and say, no, that's wrong. That thinking is wrong. That attitude is wrong. That statement is wrong. It doesn't line up with truth. It's wrong. Well, how do I look if you look different than the world because you cling, you grab a hold of, you hang on to that which is good. And good and evil don't look the same. They don't look anything alike at all. A saved person and an unsaved person might look the same, but when they stand, when they're before God, as God's looking at them, they don't look anything like the same. One is under the blood. One is not. And the Bible says that God is angry with sinners every day. Why? Because God cannot and will not approve of any sin. Any sin. Any. None. The sin that we dismiss in our life, somebody's got to preach and say that's not okay. Lying's not okay. It's just not. Gossip is not okay. There's a long list of things in the Bible that are not okay. Somebody's got to say it. That's why we need preaching, so that we can prove by the Spirit, and then we can hold fast onto the things that are good and abstain from all appearance of evil. When you hold on to good, abstaining means you've made a voluntary choice to stay away from anything that looks evil. I will not let it taint me. I'm not going to even get close to it. Have you ever gone to the dump? I go to the dump occasionally to dump things there. That's why I have a pickup. You should have a pickup to haul things to the dump. I never walk and get out of my truck at the dump and go, oh, I'm going to go roll in that. I feel like that could be good for me. My wife will love that. Oh, yeah. I love putrid smelling things. Well, first of all, I'm not a dog. It doesn't matter what their pedigree is. Dogs love dead stuff. We've had several dogs that were supposed to be worth, you know, X amount. I never paid for them. They were given to us. And you know what they do? Go out and roll in dead stuff. Oh, look, there's a dead possum. Take a whiff of that. I don't want that stuff on me. I'm a germaphobe. It creeps me out to grab a doorknob after somebody else has grabbed it. You know, you're that bad? I shake hands, and I'm not opposed to shaking hands because I'm not going to be a big baby about it. But you need to know I wash them immediately afterwards. So, because I don't even think that way. But you know what's scary to me? Is that in my spiritual life, and sometimes in my physical life while I'm out, I don't abstain. I'm like a little kid, which Twyla, I'm surprised she didn't say amen, but I know. I get as close as I can to the edge. And I think, you know, I could fall because I'm old. And my balance isn't what it used to be. But then I could go all Karate Kid. Now, I used to be able to do that and stand really still. Now it's kind of wicked bad. I can't do that. And I start thinking, you probably shouldn't do that. That's not good. You could break a hip. But I do it anyway. You just saw me do it. And I think, I'll survive it. I can overcome it. It won't be that big of a deal. The Bible says abstain. If you're holding fast to that which is good, because you got a preacher that says to you and reminds you and warns you in private conversations, in preaching the Word of God, if you'll listen and you'll not despise what he's saying, here's what's going to happen. Your life is going to change drastically, and people are going to see something different in you, and you're going to see something different in you, and the Holy Spirit's going to be able to use you in a way that you can't possibly imagine. But he only uses vessels that want to be cleaned up, not vessels that want to stay dirty. So when you listen to preaching, what happens to your mind? Are you in the room where the preaching is being preached? Or is your mind somewhere else? Do you drift in and out? Do you despise preaching? Don't despise it. Your preacher needs to not only hear you say amen, but shake your head yes occasionally. And not only that, he needs to hear you say, thank you, preacher, because I needed that. Not, if you needed it, just say, I needed that. Because we need preaching. And more than ever, the closer Jesus comes, we need it. We need more of it. I mean, we could use it every day. Amen. Twyla listens to preaching every day, at least 3 or 4 times a day. I'm walking past her office or walking past the bedroom, or she's doing her hair, which can take hours. And you can go through 3 sermons in one hair doing. And so she's in there doing that stuff. But it's okay because I hear the preaching. I'm serious. I hear the preaching. She's listening to preaching. I hear the preaching. You know why? We need preaching. We need it. How do we know how to hold fast to what is good? We need somebody to say that this is good, this is evil, abstain from it. That is something God has given us. And then the Bible says it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are brought to repentance. The foolishness of the preaching of the cross of all things. God chose the foolishness of preaching. He chose it. Have you ever wondered, why do you sit in a room and listen to somebody preach? Well, the Holy Spirit says, you know what, that's the right thing to do. Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to listen. I'm going to engage. Why? Because I don't want to despise it. I hear despising the preaching is not good. And it's not. No doubt you know people who came to church, something was said, done, whatever. They started despising the preaching and now they're gone. They stopped holding fast to that which is good. And they're now stained by the evil of the world. Why? Because they didn't listen to the preaching. We need it. Don't quench the Spirit. Accept it. Love it. Crave it. It'll make a difference in your church going. Amen. You'll go, man, I can do your preaching. It's better than sitting in class listening to a teacher go, wah, 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 wah. Sadly, that's what some of you have only heard tonight. You come to church, you hear a good preacher, and if somebody said to you, what'd you get out of the message tonight? What would you say? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I mean, you'd say, Brother Ron, I know for sure if I died right now, no doubt about it, I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to that? I know I'm saved and I'm very thankful for that. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. You say, Brother Ron, I'm not sure. I've thought about it, but I sure would. I sure would like to know. Would you pray with me about it? I sure would. If you let me, my prayer won't save you, but I would pray with you. If you're concerned about it, I'd pray with you. Is there anybody like that? I'm not sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to be sure. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, I pray for this one who said they're not sure. God, I pray that you continue to work in their heart, convict them with your word and the truth about salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, one more question. You evaluate yourself. This is the wonderful thing about preaching. It's even though there are many people in the room, you have to do a self-inspection. You can't inspect anyone else. How do you receive preaching? Do you sometimes despise it? Or remember, God's not happy with despising His word. Maybe you can see in your life, you need to prove more things from the scriptures to help yourself grow. Maybe you can see it in this, that you're not holding fast to that which is good. Or, and thank the Lord for it, you love preaching. You're thankful for it. You heed it. You search the Scriptures. And you separate yourself from the evil. You abstain from it. And you hold fast to that which is good. Folks, we need to pray for one another, especially in times like this, as we grow closer to the coming of the Lord. He will do the work, but we have to allow it. Maybe you just say this, the Lord spoke into my heart in some way tonight, and Brother Ron, I just sensed the need of prayer. Would you pray with me? I sure would if you'd let me. Anybody like that, you just say, Brother Ron, the Lord's spoken to my heart tonight. Would you pray with me? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Let's all stand together. We're going to have a word of prayer. Let the pastor come. Whatever God's spoken to your heart about, it's right to speak back to Him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for the Word of God that can change us if we'll simply heed the truth, apply the truth, listen to the proclamation, the preaching, and not despise the prophesying. I pray that you'd use your word tonight to direct our hearts correctly. For these who raise their hand, I pray for them. Lord, you've spoken to their heart. I pray they would yield in whatever way you've spoken to them. We'll give you glory for it in Jesus' name, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.